I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Europa League winners Atletico Madrid, and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, making a standard weekly appearance on the program, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, a jam-packed show for you this week. We are kicking off our seasonal player review, starting with Atletico's goalkeepers and defenders. Once again, Atleti had the best defense in La Liga, but they took a bit of a circuitous route there this season, needing to rely a lot more on Jan Oblak's heroics. And there were many instances of Jan Oblak's heroism. We'll talk all about Oblak and the men in front of him, including Diego Godin, another steady season from the Uruguayan, growth from his countryman Jose Jimenez and Lucas Hernandez, potential conundrums at both fullback positions entering next season, and lots more, including should Stefan Savic really be on this team next year. Also, we'll find time to talk about Atletico Femenino and their quest for a League Cup double, and Teo Hernandez once again becoming a meme. But before we get into all of that, make sure to subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this podcast on your favorite platform for such recordings. Apple Podcasts in particular, we are there, and we would love it if you could leave us a rating and a review. It would really help us out and get more eyes and ears on the program. Finally, make sure to head over to patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat if you want access to the weekly bonus pods, the rumor roundups. We have a big one posted there this week. You're not going to want to miss it. patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. From as little as $1 a month, you can become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo and get access to the bonus pods. Once again, patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this.
You know, this other stuff, including, you know, Real Madrid winning another European Cup. Damn it.
Yeah.
But you know what was great about it, actually? Did you see the video of Teo?
Yes, I did.
During the celebrations.
Yes, I did. I also quite enjoyed the Photoshop of him kissing the Real Madrid bench. That was quite enjoyable. Yes, that was a good one.
So if you haven't seen it, Real Madrid are celebrating with the European Cup, as they usually do. Teo, everyone's jumping around. Teo's jumping around, and he falls off the platform. Isco and Asensio are looking down at him laughing as he falls off the platform.
Oh, God.
You know, it almost...
He is, yes. He's a treasure to us all.
He's a meme. He's a living meme. And it's almost makes it worthwhile seeing them win again just to see Teo make himself a meme for like the 50th time since last summer.
Yes, I did see the wonderful stat that his much superior brother has played more Champions League minutes than him this whole season. And they were in both the group stage and the knockout rounds, not
beautiful.
Just the group stage, as Lucas was.
Beautiful. I'll have to verify that later in the show.
I did see that on Twitter, so that could absolutely be wrong, but it is possible.
And then they're on their way to celebrating their latest Champions League conquest, and Teo takes the mic. And he says, you know, we were on our way to, at Cibeles, which is the fountain on which they celebrate their trophies. We drove past Neptuno on our way here, and we didn't see any Atletico fans. Like, okay, great, Teo. Thanks for confirming.
Yeah, I didn't really get how that was supposed to be offensive.
Like, you confirmed that you have eyesight. Congratulations.
Yeah, was I missing something there? I didn't really get that burn. I mean, look, I can accept a burn when it makes sense, but that one just didn't like make sense.
Yeah, Atletico celebrated their trophy 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but, exactly.
Cool.
It's like, what, you thought they were going to celebrate you winning the European Cup? No. You may have plastic fans at the Bernabeu, but no, we do not.
Yeah, he's a character.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yes, that's one word for it.
But... You know, I kind of am all right with Madrid winning it again, because it sets up the Super Cup, a really intriguing Super Cup. And I would rather have played Real Madrid there than Liverpool. So that'll be fun.
And Liverpool fans are sad, which I personally enjoy.
But yeah, the Super Cup is going to be interesting because it's in Estonia. It's at a stadium which seats 15,000, Rob.
Yeah, it's gonna interesting
be,
one.
It's going to be weird seeing a Madrid derby play out in front of about 15,000 people. It's going to be weird.
Yeah, kind of. Well, it should be interesting. I mean, I can't say that I can name any sort of Estonian team, so at least we'll get to see a stadium we've never seen before, presumably.
And they had to expand it to get to 15,000 too.
Goodness gracious. That is intriguing.
And it also comes 3 days after Atleti's last preseason friendly,
Ah, yes. I
which
did see
is
that, so.
it's in Madrid against Inter, I think, as their last one on August 12th.
Yeah, and I imagine some guys will still be coming back after World Cup and whatnot, so that should be kind of weird, but
Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
there's no way Cholo plays any first team players. Absolutely
Yeah,
not.
I suppose not. I guess I mean, I guess we can only hope for the Super Cup that was in 2012. That one was quite enjoyable.
Very much so. Also 2010 against Inter.
That was a good one too.
The
But that little did we know at that time that Inter side was rapidly heading downhill.
Yeah, that was Rafa's Inter.
Good old Rafa.
Didn't go great for him
No, it didn't.
at Inter. But yeah,
To say the least.
the Super Cup's gonna be exciting. I think it's gonna be really fun.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a huge game. It's probably the biggest Super Cup in probably since the Chelsea Bayern one.
Yeah, probably so. Probably the two best teams, certainly. Because for the past few years, it's generally been an inferior team playing as the Europa League champions. But I don't think many people could say that Atletico aren't among the top 10 teams in Europe, even in conservative estimations.
Right, and it's better to see Atletico there than like Sevilla losing there again.
But yeah, well, and that would have almost certainly happened.
Yeah, I mean the Barca Sevilla Super Cup a few years ago was really that was the 5-4 game. That was really fun.
That was a crazy game. Oh my God, I
Yeah.
forgot. That one was brilliant.
I'd almost
That was such
forgotten
a fun one to
I'd
watch.
almost forgotten about that game, but yeah, this is probably the biggest one going back to Chelsea Bayern in 2013.
Yeah, I'd say so.
This is
I'd
it's a
say
big
so.
one. So that's in a,
Or
that's
Chelsea Atletico in 2012. I mean,
yeah, that's in a few months though. We have lots to get through until then. Transfers, player reviews, we have all kinds of stuff, so let's get to it. Today we're going to talk about Atleti's defenders and goalkeepers, how they did this season as part of our player review sesh. Here's how this is going to work. We're going to go through about 8 or 9 players here. We're going to talk about generally how they did, maybe assign some grades, we'll see how it goes. Talk about one key stat for each player, and then whether we'd hitch or ditch them, as in keep them or get rid of them for the upcoming season. You ready, Rob?
Never been more ready in my life.
Let's start with the goalkeepers. Quick word on Axel Werner as well as Miguel Angel Moya. Moya left in February for Real Sociedad. Helped steady that ship a little bit, get them into a respectable position in mid-table. Axel Werner only played 3 games this season for Atleti, made his league debut and his European debut as well. Neither of them really played enough to say, hitch or ditch. Obviously, Moya has been ditched, but Werner is an interesting case because I think he might go out on loan next year.
Yeah, I guess he probably will.
And I think it's the right decision, too, because, he's 22 years old. And he needs to play. I let he like him. He needs to play.
True, true. I guess it's just a question of, I mean, Ingeno Black, as brilliant as he is, does tend to have a couple weeks out through injury every year. But so maybe they'll keep him around as the backup, but we'll see on that one, I guess. That's sort of a wait and see kind of thing if we sign up another backup goalkeeper or what have you.
Yeah, if Atleti go that route, they loan out Werner to maybe a mid-table side in Spain, maybe Portugal is a destination for him. They'll sign a veteran. Guaita from Getafe is one name who's been linked. Adrian from West Ham is also in there, apparently. So that is a wait and see.
Or Joel Robles, who really loves Atletico.
Yep, former Atletico great Joel Robles,
Yes, indeed.
former Europa League winner Joel
I
Robles.
could see that happening because he's never going to get ahead of Pickford. So he might as well come and never get ahead of Jan Oblak.
We'll see. But speaking of Oblak, he had a good season, didn't he?
He certainly did. I think he played all right.
Yeah, his best season yet. Third time was a charm for him in Europa League after coming so close with Benfica in 2014, then coming close in the Champions League, as we know, in 2016. This time, he did the job. getting his first European trophy and winning another Zamora trophy in La Liga.
Yeah, I mean, he's been absolutely brilliant since he came in. La Liga record for a goalkeeper, and he has most certainly lived up to that, and probably even more, becoming one of the best goalkeepers in Europe since the injury-ridden downfall of Manuel Neuer. He's certainly among the top three, top five, wherever you want to put him.
Just 22 goals conceded in La Liga this season, and with a weaker defense in front of him as well, a lot of that, the goals conceded tally, is down to Oblak. You know, people say, oh, Atletico never concede goals. Well, that's true, because Simeone's system is so good, but because Oblak took another step forward this season, that kept the goals conceded ledger tidy and looking very Atletico-like. Fifth time in 6 years they've had the best defense in La Liga. What's that? That's the fourth Zamora trophy he's won? Or no, it's the third. Third in a row, excuse me.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, for the fewest goals conceded, goals to minutes ratio. Key stat for Oblak is 29. 29 clean sheets in all competitions, 22 of them in La Liga.
Ridiculous. Just ridiculous. He was excellent. But as you say, in previous years, you could sort of level it at Oblak that the defense in front of him was excellent and sort of made his stats look better. But I don't really think that was as much the case this year. The defense was certainly worse in general, but he papered over a ton of cracks this season and bailed Atletico out several times.
Yeah, who scored gave him credit for 105 saves in La Liga, 50 of them in the box, 4 of them from within the 6-yard box. They also gave him credit for 22 saves in the Europa League, 10 of them inside the box.
Pretty dang good, and he was excellent in the semifinals against Arsenal as well, particular.
That first leg, gigantic.
Absolutely.
The fingertip save off Ramsey, right?
Yes.
The fingertip save off Ramsey was probably, other than the Griezmann goal, the biggest moment of that game.
Absolutely, yeah. And he totally kept Atletico in it the entire tie, but specifically in that first leg.
Yeah, he was great. And he can save penalties now, too.
I mean, that was silly. He started out the season totally beasting, and I don't know how anyone can really criticize him for being a poor penalty saver. He's very good at it.
Yeah, saved the Arias penalty back in September to keep that game with Athletic scoreless until Atletico went and won it in the second half. Saved Fires penalty, and then he also saved the penalty against Napoli in the preseason, and then he saved another one. Whose was it? It was against Alaves, right? It was not against Alaves. Atletico got two penalties in that game. I can't remember the other one he saved.
It's somewhere. We'll figure it out.
But, yeah, I would hitch my wagon to Oblak rather than ditch him.
Yes, I think I would too.
And it seems that Atletico are leading that way. There are finally renewal talks ongoing with Oblak, especially in light of Liverpool's needing a goalkeeper. They have decided to act fast. It looks like there's a renewal that's going to get done there, which I think will be great news for all parties involved.
Yeah, they can have Alisson Becker. That's fine.
Moving on to the defenders. Shime versus Salico. This is an interesting one. Not really a straightforward season for Shime.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, more injuries in and out of the team the first half of the season. Lots of talk that he would leave in the January window, but Simeone starts playing him in November and December. He enters a really good run of form in which he assists 3 straight goals for Atletico, 2 of which can turn out to be game winners. And he basically held down the starting spot when fit for the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to remember that at the end of last season, he suffered that terrible ACL injury, and we were kind of concerned about how he was going to come back, and he didn't look like he was going to come back at all, that he might get sold or something like that. But once he made his way into the team, he played very, very well. But then sort of went on a rough patch towards the end of the season, I suppose.
Yeah, he got a bunch of yellow cards. Just one assist after January. Got sent off in that first leg against Arsenal, which his teammates bailed him out, but wasn't a great moment for him. Played less than 1,700 minutes in La Liga this season.
Yeah, bit of a weird one. He was in and out of the team a lot, and it was a as you say, a very strange season for him, because at times he looked like totally on top of his game, as we sort of saw glimpses of last season, but inconsistent is probably the best word for it, I'd say.
Yeah, it's a weird one, because he likes to cross the ball, but he's not particularly good at it. Like when, yeah. Like when he crosses the ball well, like it's going to be an assist. But yeah, he's not a great crosser. I think he thinks he's a better crosser than he actually is. His work rate isn't great. I'm not sure what his resolve is like in coming back from injuries, because he's had quite a few of them, quite a few little niggles that keep him out here and there. That said, he's a talented player, and when he's on his game, he's very good. Very good in the air. And he's just got to stay on the pitch, though. That's been the issue. Yeah, he's got to stay on the pitch.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the biggest concern going forward. And you do kind of wonder how much Cholo's going to trust him going forward, sort of in the market. If Atletico move for a quality right back, it may sort of signal that Vrsaljko may no longer be the automatic first choice. I mean, it would be a very big problem if we go into next season if Juan Fran is the first choice, but I'm confident he can beat out Juan Fran, but if Atleti buy a new right back that's considered a starter, that would be maybe a more interesting competition.
Key stat for Vrsaljko is 4. That's the number of assists he had, but as I mentioned, just 1 after the month of January. Hitch or ditch? Would you keep him for next year's team?
I would, yeah. I think he needs another year. I'd give him another year.
I would as well, but I'm not 100% convinced he's going to stay.
Yeah,
the other day,
I know what you mean.
The other day he gave an interview saying he's happy with Atletico, and he plans to stay, but things in football are very fluid. So we'll see, especially if Atletico do move for a fullback, which they're going to move for at least one. And it's entering the season with Juan Fran as your starter would just be really bad.
Yeah, we need fullbacks, but I'd like to see Vrsaljko given another year, and I'd love to see him stay injury-free to sort of see how good he really is, or how good he can be over a full season.
Let's talk about Juan Fran now. The veteran Juan Fran winning another European trophy with Atletico. He's been at the heart of all these trophies since Cholo took over in December 2011. He's won them all, but he played a bit more this season than I think he should have. Once again, it's pretty clear to see that he slowed down. Definitely not what he was in 2015-16, which I think was possibly his best season in red and white. Other than the title-winning season, of course. And it's not really his fault either. He's just gotten old.
Yeah. And these things happen.
Yeah, 33 years old. Missed a lot of games this season, usually with hamstring injuries. But luckily for Atletico, he came back during the final week of the season. Helped them to a huge win at Getafe, which pretty much sealed up second place. And then played the second half of the Europa League final win.
Yeah, exactly. And he was actually excellent in the second half of the Europa League final, is strange, but you know, not really surprising given how much he loves his club and how much he's given over the years. I trust Juan Fran to put in a half, a really good half. But beyond that, I really, really would not like to see him starting. Certainly not 15 games, maybe 5 at a push, but even still. Yeah. But we're nearing the end here.
He doesn't have the stamina anymore. He doesn't really have the agility anymore. He doesn't really cross that well anymore. What Juan Fran still does well, though, he doesn't really go away with age. He's just always been really good at holding onto the ball and making good decisions. Mm-hmm. And he's been really good at keeping possession because he's a Spanish fullback. So that doesn't really go away with age, but the rest of that stuff kind of does. His pace has gone away. His crossing has gone away. Defensively, he gets caught out a bit more. Still decent at blocking the ball. Still, he'll throw in the occasional clearance, but yeah, that stuff goes away the older you get.
Yeah, and I mean, he actually registered quite a few assists this season, but he got 3, which is the same he got in, 15-16, and more than he got in all the last season as well, but yeah, which is crazy.
Two of those came in the first leg against Lokomotiv.
Right, and so you can sort of take that with, a grain of salt, because that match was a little bit of a blowout. But yeah. We're nearing the end here, but everyone loves Juan Fran. I would perhaps argue that his best moment was when they showed him and Torres sitting on the bench, jumping to the whoever's not a Madridista to jump. That was my favorite Juan Fran moment of the season.
Yeah, this is a man who, since his arrival at Atletico pre-Simeone days, was when he debuted for the club. This is a guy who's grown to love the club, and he bleeds these colors, loves this shirt. I don't have a problem keeping him around next year, but he can't play as much as he did. The key stat, 30. That's the total number of appearances for him out of 59 games. Still only played half of Atletico's games, but I think it's still a little too much. He's just he's not good enough anymore to play against the top-level opposition that Letty play every year now.
Well, I think it'd just be best for him to sort of play out next season, however many games Simeone's going to run him out there for, and then sort of transition into a coaching role or some kind of upper management role, whatever he wants to do with his life. After next season, we may be at the end.
Yeah, he will be back next season. He's already got his renewal. Mm-hmm. But next season will probably be his last season. Gabby's too. He as Juan Fran turns 34.
And you'd like to see those two go out together.
Oh, for sure. Hit your ditch.
I'd keep him, but with the provision that he should not play more than 7 matches as a starter.
Yeah.
Under any circumstance.
Yeah, under the proviso that Atleti either buys a new right back or keeps Vrsaljko healthy or decides to convert, or they decide to convert Tomas full time.
Yeah, so whatever they want to do, just not playing a lot of games. Keep him around, but not as a starter or even really as the preferred backup, ideally.
Old reliable Diego Godin is next. And
bit of a weird one, huh?
This is the dude we love. This is a dude who, again, has been with Simeone since the beginning. His 4th continental trophy that he won in the Europa League final. But yeah, it was a weird season for him. And you and I talked about this before, about how this is possibly, in a way, the end for him as well. Perhaps some phasing out is going to be going on here next year.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. And not because Godin performed particularly bad. I think he was still good, but you saw that his athleticism has certainly left him to a certain degree. And I think really we saw that if he has a young athletic partner, then he can still be perfectly salvageable. But because of the steps forward that Josema and Lucas took this season, you'd kind of like to see them get a chance to start and Godin to come off the bench more often.
Yeah, Godin's numbers didn't really go down much this year. Still averaged about 5 clearances per 90 minutes in La Liga, over 5 per 90 minutes in the Europa League. That's in line with what he's done the past few years, so he's still been consistent. But he's lost a bit of a step. He's turned 32, mm-hmm. and he has been an automatic starter for the last 5-6 years. So it takes a toll on you, but he's still a very good player. Completed 86% of his passes in La Liga, 85% in the Europa League. Still a very good center back. Maybe not best on the continent anymore, but still quality. And I have no problems with him starting.
No, I don't either. I don't think it's a problem if Godin is still starting. I think it's a matter of who his partner is going to be in that situation.
Not Stefan Savic.
Right, exactly. Basically someone who's capable of running, because he can't really anymore. So someone has to do that among the back line. And if he's not tasked with having to run around to do stuff, he can absolutely camp out in the box, play long balls, and totally blow up people when needed. And that's what he's good at.
One key stat for Godin, 2,554. That's the number of minutes he played in La Liga, his fewest since 2011-2012.
Which is crazy.
That's crazy.
Because that's still a lot of minutes.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of representative of what we're going to see next season. I don't think mm-hmm. he plays more than that in the league, especially with Jimenez and Lucas both ready to start. Jimenez is probably going to get the nod over Lucas, but I think more often than not, we're going to see Jimenez-Lucas pairings, almost as much as we're going to see Jimenez-Godin pairings.
I would love that. I think that is most certainly the ideal. And I think if Diego Godin is a guy that you're using as your backup center back, that is like the best case scenario.
Oh, yeah. That's a luxury. A little bit like having Kevin Gamero as your backup number 9. Different, obviously, because Godin's a bit of a different quality. but it's a luxury to have Godin as your third choice center back. That is just amazing. And it's certainly possible.
So Atletico, if that's the case, that's beautiful.
Atletico can afford to do it because they have Jimenez and Lucas as well.
Right. So, I think that's perfectly fine. And, you know, he even scored a goal this year. I mean, he's not scoring like he used to, but yeah, he scored once at the Cup. So
I totally forgot. It was the first leg against Vieta. I think I totally forgot he scored a goal.
Yeah. I mean, you know, pretty standard Godin goal, but I miss seeing him score as often as he used to.
Yeah, scored 8 goals in the
2013-14. Cool. That says it all.
Hitch or ditch? Obviously Hitch. He's, for me, he's going to get a renewal pretty soon, it looks like. What his future holds. I'm going to say he has probably another year at this level before he really starts to fall off. But you know, center backs like him, who don't rely on pace, who rely on just positional sense and intelligence, they can last forever. Like, Andrea Barzagli is still doing a job at Juventus.
Yeah, and he's ancient. So, I think Godin can keep going for a few more years, certainly not as a starter. One more year at sort of a top quality level, and then a few more years after that just sort of as a bench option, or if he wants to go somewhere else to maybe sort of a less intensive league, that might be better as well. But I'd love to see him stay.
Yeah, that's about right. Jimenez is next. Jose Maria Jimenez. I'll start with the key stat for him. The key number here is plus 29. That's the goal difference that Atletico put up when Jimenez and Godin started together.
That's pretty good.
over 16 games, plus 29.
He was excellent this year.
Yeah, it's almost like Jimenez is like their second best center back.
Yes, I think that's because he is. Yeah, he was amazing this whole year.
Yeah, he finally got that run in the team that he needed starting in January before he got hurt again. And he was phenomenal. That was probably Atleti's best run of the season, that run in February and early March. That was probably the single best stretch that they played this season. That was when Griezmann was scoring all kinds of goals and Costa really was bedding back into the league. That was, I think, the best. The purple patch of the team's play this season. And Jimenez, his entry into defense, I think it played a huge part in that.
Yeah, and I think he also kind of took a step forward in terms of his decision-making on the pitch. In previous years, you and I have talked about how he could make some pretty poor decisions out there, either, you know, going in for a tackle he shouldn't or misplacing a pass, something like that. But this year, he was a lot more concentrated and was able to sort of cut out some of those silly mistakes he used to make.
Yeah, much more composed, much more disciplined. He'll still pick up the occasional booking, he'll still make the occasional mistake, but just a different kind of player this year. He's really grown up. And this was about the time, you know, looking back a few years, this was about the time that we had, you know, talked about, you know, hey, this is about the time he's going to emerge, you know, 23, 24 years old as a top drawer center back. And he's definitely on his way. His performances this season just were consistently excellent, even on bad days. That 1-0 loss to Barcelona, which effectively decided the league, he was Atletico's best player that day. Just making huge tackles and interventions all over the place, keeping Atletico in it, really. And he almost surely will be a starter from the first week next season. He has to be.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way he can't be after the performances he put in last season. I mean, to sort of put it into context, he was booked 3 less times than Frisalco, which is just insane for a center back as compared to a right back. But no, he was excellent this whole season, and I think that next year really could be his emergence as being one of the best young center backs in Europe.
He's so freakishly talented in the air, on the ground. He's fast. His intelligence, his understanding of the game, I think, has gotten better, especially as he's played more next to Godin, who is one of the smartest center backs out there. He had a great season. And if he didn't win a starting job at this point, then he has to leave because he's never going to win one.
Right. And that was, I think, you know, that's something that we've been hoping to see from him, is that he makes that step forward, and he certainly did. And now it's just up to Simeone to start him a bunch next season. So that's what we want to see. Yeah. And I'm also looking forward to seeing him starting alongside Godin at the World Cup. I think that should be fun.
Yeah, they are also international teammates as well as club teammates. Jimenez is 23 years old and he's going to his second World Cup already.
Insanity.
Yeah, he's insanity. A freak. He's really, really good. Obviously, Hitch, he's got a contract to 2020. I'm sure that will be renewed next year.
Yeah, especially if he keeps starting, as we suspect he might.
21 Savage is next.
Yay! This is a fun one.
So, we are Stefan Savage critics, as if you've listened to like maybe even one or two episodes of this podcast, you will know that we are not Stefan Savage's biggest fans. That said, we do support him. We try really hard to support him. But this is a guy who played 2,300 minutes in the league this season, started more, played approximately 700 minutes more than Jimenez. And what do Atletico have to show for that? Well, I'm glad you asked, Rob. Because when he and Godín played together, Atletico won just 11 of 21 games between four competitions, only scored 24 goals in those 21 games. Only conceded 10, but Atletico's performances were just much worse when Godín and Savage started together. A lot of 1-0s. Lots of 1-0s.
And those kind of felt more fortunate than by design.
Yeah, they really were. Atletico were holding on in a lot of these games. The game at Celta was one of those. The goalless draw at Leganés was one of those. The 1-0 win at Deportivo.
The 1-0 against Alavés.
1-0 at home to Alavés. 1-0 at home to Depor.
I think there might be a theme emerging.
1-0 away to Getafe. Right. This has always been the problem with Savage, is that he's like a Montenegrin Godín, just without Godín's positional sense and positional knowledge. Savage likes to kind of wander around, but he doesn't have the pace to recover.
Right, and I mean, it sort of makes sense with the sort of player he is. He's a bit of a brick wall type of defender. So he will make a lot of blocks naturally, but in a lot of other key areas, he leaves a little bit to be desired.
Yeah, I mean, he's lacking. He'll pick up the red card. He'll score the own goal that will make you just throw your hands in the air in disgust.
Yeah, certainly.
He will do that. He's also pretty good in the air, and for his key stat, he averaged 9.6 clearances per 90 minutes in the Europa League.
Wow.
Yeah, 10 clearances per 90. Like, holy hell.
He's hoofing it out of there.
Yeah. I kind of get why Simeone likes him, because he's a much less polished Godín. He's really good at clearing the ball. He's good in the air, but he's not really good at anything else that Godín is good at. So starting them together is redundant, and it led to some really poor performances. So, Savage, not only should Savage not be starting next year, but I don't think he should be in the team next year. I'd ditch him.
I would as well. I think if anyone gives you any sort of money for Stefan Savage, I mean, he wasn't bought for very much money, so it's not like you're really worried about taking a loss on him.
No,
so.
Atletico, I think, would actually make a profit on Savage no matter who they sold him to. He was acquired, and part of why he was so cheap was that he was acquired in part exchange for Mario Suarez.
Right, who is certainly no longer with Fiorentina.
I can't believe so, Fiorentina actually bought that.
That was a very strange deal. I think Atleti could certainly recoup 10 million euros for him at this point. I think there would be plenty of teams that could pay that, especially, I mean, you could sell him to a team that's trying to fight against relegation in England, and they'd pay more than that.
Yeah, I don't know Savage's buyout, but I think you can sell him for 25 million.
I mean, anything more than 10, I think Atletico should absolutely listen to.
And I don't mind buying another experienced kind of veteran center back in his place, just someone who has a little more pace and a little more experience.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go with Lucas and Josema as the starters and Godín as your primary backup, then you sign another guy or you promote someone from the youth team as the fourth choice. I think this is the time to sell Stefan Savage, because he's not ancient yet. And I think this is probably one of the last times that Atleti could get some real money for him.
Speaking of Lucas, he was, for me, the breakout star in this defense this season. Finally got the playing time that we've been clamoring for him to get. 27 appearances in the league, over 2,000 minutes. Played left back a lot of the season. Started there in the Europa League final, and did a great job on Florian Thauvin. He shouldn't be playing left back next season. He should be in center back, but man, he's good.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, Lucas is an expert, and I think that's why he was able to lock down his countryman, Tovan, in the Europa League final. He's excellent in terms of defensively as a left back. That's great, but going forward, he can't really do it, and we've seen that on multiple occasions, so he's almost certainly better suited to being a center back.
Yeah, it's always been an awkward fit for him at left back, because defensively, he's great. His pace allows him to catch up with just about anybody. He's a great tackler, 4 tackles per 90 minutes in the league this season. Only Felipe averaged more. So that part of his game is really strong. I think what he lacks is, you know, going forward, obviously he's not great because he's a natural center back, and his discipline isn't great either. Got sent off on the final day of the season, picked up 4 yellow cards and a red card over the season's final month.
This is true, and I also really would prefer to never see Lucas cross a ball again. Yeah. Bless his heart. I mean, he can't really do that. But that's okay. He doesn't need to if he's going to be playing at center back.
Yeah, but he's so damn fast, and he's a battler, and he's a smart player. A little indisciplined at times, but you know, he played more than ever this season, so he had some kinks to work out, and I think he mostly worked them out. This is a guy who has to be at the center of Atletico's future.
Yeah, and alongside Hosema, I think the two actually quite complement each other quite well, because Lucas isn't the sort of hulking figure that Hosema is. He's sort of more of a wily defender, and I think that that's quite helpful to have alongside a big man like Hosema.
Yeah.
So I think the two of them complement each other very well, and to start the next season with those two in the center of defense would be beautiful.
No question, I hitch my wagon to Lucas. Like, this is a guy who could be here for the next 10 years.
No doubt about
it. And become a club legend if he wants to be.
Absolutely. And, he can just absolutely rack up the playing time next season if he can keep on doing what he's doing. And clearly Simeone trusts him. I mean, at the start of the season, I wouldn't have thought that he would end up sort of playing around the same amount of minutes and starting far more La Liga matches than Hosema. Granted, some were at left back, but that's pretty impressive.
Felipe Luis, as we wrap up our seasonal review of Atletico's goalkeepers and defenders, it was really good when he played.
Yeah, that first part of the season was awesome.
And then came the second part when he broke his leg and missed 2 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was no good.
No, not... muy mal, es muy mal.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Felipe, 32 years old, that's the key stat for him, is his age. And you wonder, he didn't play in the Europa League final. He started Atletico's last 3 league games, one win, one draw, one loss. Played pretty well in those 3 games, but you wonder over a full season, assuming he is Atletico's starter next year, over a full season, how is he going to look coming off, you know, another traumatic leg injury?
Yeah, that is the worry, because we just don't really know. Even though we did see him start 3 matches, I still don't feel like I totally know where his body's at.
Yeah, it's hard to say, because he only played 3 games.
Games, he wasn't super involved like he was in the first part of the season.
Yeah, and he looked pretty good. I mean, Felipe has an amazing capacity to recover from injuries like this. He did it at Depor when he was playing there, and he did it again here. And as a reward, he got called up to Brazil's squad for the World Cup. But I wonder...
Which I'm not sure is the best thing for Atletico.
I'm not sure he's going to play, though, because of Marcelo.
True.
Yeah, I don't know how much Felipe will play, because I think Marcelo is the starter there. But, yeah, even then, it's a good point. Just how is Felipe going to look entering his age 33 season, coming off a broken leg in a World Cup?
And he's got a lot of mileage on his body already.
Yeah.
Even before the injury in the summer.
He didn't play a whole lot of minutes this season. He was kind of in and out of the squad a little bit in the early part of the season too, as Lucas got more time there. But Lucas became the left back by default when Felipe went out with his leg injury, and yeah, Lucas never really relinquished it after that. It's gonna be one of the storylines to watch entering next season, is assuming Felipe is still the starter.
That is the big question: is he going to still retain that amazing attacking ability that he has from left back to just, I mean, the attack flowed through him for quite a large part of this season.
Yeah, it's not just this season. He's been so crucial since he came back from his 1 year loan at Chelsea. Since he came back, he's been crucial. A lot of things go through him offensively. When Felipe was out this season, everything kind of went through the middle. Koke was relied on a lot more. Saul was relied on a lot more. Griezmann especially. So much of the attack fell to him. And Atletico were not as successful with Felipe out and without that outlet down the left-hand side. So he's crucial.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, we really, really, really hope he comes back next season and just looks totally fine. But I am a bit concerned about that.
Yeah, that said, I still totally hitch my wagon to him because when he's healthy, he's one of the best fullbacks on the continent despite being over 30.
Yeah, he absolutely deserves a chance to prove that he can't do it anymore.
So that is it for the seasonal player review. My best player from the goalkeeper's defenders, I think, was Oblak.
Yeah, followed
pretty closely by Lucas and then Jimenez.
Yeah, I'd say Oblak is the MVP and Lucas is the breakout star in terms of the defenders.
Let us move on now and talk about Atletico Madrid Femenino.
Yay!
They are on the verge of a League Cup double, Rob.
Unbelievable.
They are...
This is a fantastic generation.
Not only have they won a second consecutive Liga Iberdrola title, but they will be contesting the Copa de la Reina final this Saturday against Barcelona, who finished second to them in the league. Atleti's ladies getting there after beating Granadilla Tenerife 2-0 in the Copa de la Reina semifinal this past Saturday. What a story. This is really isn't getting enough press. This is a golden era for Atletico's women's team.
And for a women's team that really hasn't had that much success in recent years, so it's kind of fantastic to see them doing so well and to retain the league title is a massive achievement.
They weren't even a real team until 2001.
Right. And now that they've managed to win the title last season, which we covered a bit because it was a huge achievement, they managed to retain it, and now they're on the verge of a double, which is even better.
Yeah, their second straight league title. And last year... narrowly missed out on the cup as they lost the final 4-1 to Barca, looking to get revenge this year.
Yes, please. Let's have some of that.
Yep, so that is this coming Saturday, June 2nd. Should be a good one. We'll be covering it. Very exciting times for Angel Villacampa and his ladies.
Yes, indeed. And if people are still hankering for some club football, get on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to get in on this. What else you got, man?
I think that's it.
Well, we will move on to the bonus pod then. It's a packed bonus pod today. You're not going to want to miss it. Patreon, patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. Become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo from as little as $1 a month, and you can listen to our bonus pods. But in the meantime, that was Rob Walker. You can follow him on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at jbbaron as well. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon, like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting provider. That includes Apple Podcasts. Please leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out, gets more eyes and ears on the program. We will be back next week to continue our season review. Until then, adios.